it's good to see you tonight. It's not the largest crowd we've ever had, but it is good to see those of you who are here. We do need to be in prayer for Miss Birdie. They had to take her back to the hospital today, so she is back in the hospital. And the same issues that she's been dealing with since the surgery, so we need to continue to be in prayer for her. And we've got others who are traveling and others who are out of town. So with that and sickness and people working late right now during the summer, just a lot of people to pray for and to be mindful of. And so I am glad to see you because I know it could be worse, all right? And so I'm glad you were here, and it's good to see you tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we will get started. Come on in, Susie. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. We are thankful, Lord, for a cool place that we can come to, Lord, and relax for a few moments and get away from the craziness of this world that seems to be around us every direction we look. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to give attention to your word these next few moments. I pray, God, that you'd help me to say what you've impressed upon my heart for this evening, and Lord, that you'd help us to use it and to apply it to our lives. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we watched as the wife of Potiphar brought false accusations against Joseph because she was tired of being scorned and rejected by him. We know that she accused him of trying to rape her, and she said that had it not been for her screaming, he would have been successful, but it was because of her screaming that he eventually ran off, and she had the coat there to prove it. And as a result of those false accusations against Joseph, we know that in verse number 20, I believe it was, that it said that Joseph was put in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. And so it was in all of this that I tried to explain to us and tried to remind us that without question, this is not what Joseph expected for his life. This is not what he would have naturally assumed would be the next step in his journey or in his path of life. And I tried to show us last week that sometimes we're guilty of having wrong expectations of what God's going to do in our life. And we can get into our mind, we can get into this thought process that, well, because we're trying to serve the Lord, because we're trying to follow him, things are going to be great and things are going to be wonderful. And that's not what God has promised us. God has not promised us an easy life. He has not promised us a life of just continual blessing after continual blessing. He's promised to give us grace. He's promised to meet our needs. He's promised to be with us. But again, we have to have biblical, which means realistic expectations of God and what he said he's going to do for us. And so that was last week. Tonight, as we move ahead in this study of the life of Joseph, I'd like to share something with you that I know you're not particularly interested in, but I think it will illustrate a point, and so I hope you'll give attention to it for just a couple of moments. I think all of you know now, or by now, that a little over 20 years ago, Susie and I went through the process of going through a wedding, and we were declared husband and wife in the presence of God and man. Okay? In doing that, we set our vows. In doing that, we lit the unity candle, representing two lives becoming one. And also in the midst of this ceremony, we gave a token of our eternal love one toward another in the form of a ring. Right? Many of you did the exact same thing. You exchanged rings to represent and to signify your unending, your eternal love one for another. Whenever Susie and I got married, I think I've shared this before, but when Susie and I got married, my wedding ring a little over 20 years ago cost around $150. Very simple, very basic, nothing extravagant, obviously, if it was only $150. And I wore that for several years until the ring began to shrink. I don't know what happened, but the ring began to shrink. Weirdest thing. I know it had nothing to do with my weight gain. And so the ring began to shrink, and it got to where it was uncomfortable to wear. And so I eventually took it off, never to put that ring on again. It was 10 years ago, whenever we were in D.C., that we found a bargain on some rings. And I found me another ring to replace that one, and I paid $7.50 for it. And so I had a wedding ring that consisted of sterling silver, so I was told, and it was $7.50, and I wore that for a few years, but you can imagine for $7.50, it didn't last just a real long time. So a couple of years ago, I upgraded, and I bought something nice when we were in New Mexico on vacation, and I spent $25 on the wedding ring I am currently wearing now. Like I said, I know you're not overly interested in this, but it does prove a point. To this day, I'm still not one, as I've mentioned before, I'm still not one who enjoys wearing jewelry. Like many of you, during the summer, it seems as though my hands swell worse than during the winter. And so a lot of times the ring is just tight. Sometimes because of the work that I'm maybe doing around the house or maybe here at the church, it just seems to be getting in the way. And so sometimes I'll take it off, and there have been times that I've taken the wedding ring off and completely forgotten about it for several days, maybe a couple of weeks, even for a couple of months at times. And there have been times that Susie has hid the ring just to see if I would notice that it was missing. There have been times she has come to me with the wedding ring and said something like this, "Would you please wear your wedding ring?" And I comply usually, and I say, "Yeah, sure, I just hadn't thought about it." Now, knowing that you're not overly concerned about those details, I want to ask you a couple of questions based on the information I just gave you. The first question I want to ask you is this: was my marriage to Susie better when I was wearing a $150 ring as opposed to when I was wearing an $8 ring? Well, you may not know, but the answer is no. It was not better just because I was wearing a more expensive ring. Truth be told, the marriage is a lot better since I've been wearing cheap rings as opposed to the first couple of years of marriage when I was wearing the more expensive ring. I don't think it was the ring's fault, but I'm just saying the marriage and its quality has not been determined by the price of the ring that I was wearing. So whether it be $150, whether it be $25, or whether it be $7.50, the quality of the marriage has not changed. Something else I want us to think about tonight is this. Whenever I fail to wear my wedding ring for days, weeks, or months at a time, it has not broken the relationship between me and Susie. You understand this, correct? I am no less married if I take my ring off than when I wear my wedding ring. It's not as though there's something magical that happens whenever I do this and make it disappear. It's not as though all of a sudden I'm single and searching, right? No, I mean, all this is a representation or a reflection of what happened a little over 20 years ago. So absolutely nothing changes by way of relationship just because things on the outside have changed a little bit. Okay, so the relationship, I want us to see this by way of principle. Nothing at all changes in mine and Susie's relationship by way of whether or not we're really married based on whether or not I'm wearing my wedding ring. And I can assure you the quality of my marriage has nothing to do with the value of the ring that I'm wearing at the time. You could give me a $1 million wedding ring, and if the marriage wasn't good, it wouldn't matter how much the wedding ring cost. Now, I want us to think about that principle as we move into the message tonight because of what we're going to be looking at. Notice in verse number 20, I know we touched on this last week and I just reviewed it for a moment, just a moment ago. But notice in verse number 20, it says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison." If you notice, you read the word prison twice and you read the word prisoner once. Now, I don't know what you think of when you hear the word prison, but whenever I hear the word prison, certain thoughts and certain images come to mind. Whenever we first moved here, many of y'all know who Al Almanza is, and he worked out at the prison here in town or outside of town. And I remember he came to me and he said something like this, "Pastor, if you'd ever like to take a tour of the prison, just let me know and I'll get you in and I'll take you around for a tour." And so I had never been inside a prison, either for any specific reason. And so I said, yeah, that sounds interesting. That sounds like something I'd like to do. And so I remember going out there that day, and I remember getting in past the security and past a couple of gates and him meeting me there. And there are certain images that are etched in my mind from the one experience I had that day. I remember this, realizing that I was not with the most favorable of citizens in our society at that point. You understand what I mean, right? This was not a preacher's convention there. Not that they're the most favorable people in the community either, but I'm just saying this was not a group of preachers. This was not a group of Sunday school teachers. This was not a group of children from a Sunday school department. No, these were a combined group of rather unsavory individuals at the time. They were not all innocent, is what I'm trying to convey. Some of them were very deserving to be there. And the situation in which I found them, it was an image that, again, is forever etched in my mind. I remember as we walked through the area and seeing the different holding areas and the different places where the inmates would stay, I remember just this cold, harsh feeling about the environment. I remember going into the cafeteria or the dining room, whatever it was called, and having lunch with Brother Al out there. And I remember eating that food that they said was fish and whatever else it was they served us. And I remember thinking, this isn't what I'd like to eat every day. Yeah. Now, I'm saying that to say this. Whenever I hear the word prison, I don't think welcome home. Whenever I hear the word prison, I don't think of a place that my heart longs to go back to. See, whenever I hear the word prison, I think of criminals, I think of a harsh environment, I think of an uncomfortable setting, I think of an environment that is not too appealing to my flesh, and things of that nature. And so here is Joseph, and one moment he is the head of the house there at Potiphar's house, and Potiphar doesn't even know what he has except the food on the table before him. One moment that is Joseph's lot in life, and the next moment he is in prison. Well, what did their prison look like? Did it look like what I saw? Did it look like what I experienced that day? Was it everything that I, again, just was a part of? I don't know what it was like, but I do believe this. I do believe that it was not just a lateral move in Joseph's life. I don't think he looked at being put into prison where the prisoners were bound. I don't think he looked at that move and said, well, you know, it's really comparable to where I was at yesterday. I think if you could look at Joseph's life and if you could ask him, so was this progress or not progress? Is this a step in the right direction or a step in the wrong direction? I think he would say something like this. It is definitely by far a step in the wrong direction, in my opinion. I think that's what Joseph would say. That in mind, notice what it says in verse number 21. We read these words again that we read in verse number 2. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Here is Joseph, and he's been taken from Potiphar's house. He has been cast or he has been put or placed into the prison of the king where the prisoners are bound. And it says that in the midst of this transition, in the midst of this change in the direction of Joseph's life, it says the Lord was with him. Now, if you were here a few weeks ago and you heard the message from verse number 2, you may remember what it means for it to say that the Lord was with him. It means this, that the Lord was accompanying Joseph, or the Lord was alongside of Joseph in the midst of this. So as Joseph goes from being the head of the house in Potiphar's home, subject only to the commands of Potiphar, as Joseph goes from that position in life to being bound and put into the prison of the king, here's what we need to remember and here's what we need to understand, that the Lord continued to be with him and the Lord continued to accompany him. Joseph did not go through this process alone. Notice what it says next in verse number 21. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. The Lord showed him mercy. What does it mean when it says the Lord showed him mercy? Well, mercy is dealing with the idea of kindness and compassion. Kindness and compassion. Now, I just want us to think about this, and I'm going to say more about it in just a couple of moments, but I think I'd struggle to see mercy in this. But in the midst of Joseph being taken from Potiphar's house and being put into the king's prison where the prisoners are bound, as all this is happening, as all of this is taking place, not only is the Lord with Joseph, it says in verse number 21 that the Lord showed or revealed or gave him mercy, showed him kindness, and showed him compassion. And notice in verse number 21 it says this, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the keeper of the prison. The Lord gave him favor. What does it mean for the Lord to give him favor? It means this, again, to show kindness or partiality toward one. And so here is the Lord, here is God, and he is working on the heart of the keeper of the prison. And it is because of God's working in the heart of this keeper or this guard of the prison that Joseph is once again receiving the favorable treatment in a place where he ought not be receiving the favorable treatment. Does this make sense? Here is Joseph, and he's going through another trial, he's going through another circumstance, he's going through another difficulty, and it says in verse number 21, the Lord was with Joseph. Let's hear this, please. The Lord was with Joseph, he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Go back to verse number 8 real quick. In verse number 8, Joseph says this, or the scripture says, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. In verse number 8, I want us to consider this very simple question. Would it appear in verse number 8, based upon the words of Joseph, that the Lord was with him in verse number 8? I would say yes. See, when Joseph says this, that the master had entrusted him or had committed unto him all that he had into Joseph's hands, I would say that is proof positive, that is all the evidence you need that Joseph was being accompanied by God. Look in verse number 22. It says, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. As you look in verse 22 and verse number 23, does it sound like, even in the midst of being in the prison of the king, does it sound like the Lord was with him there? Amen. Sounds like it to me. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at verse number 8, and I look at verse number 22 and verse number 23. And when everything was good for Joseph, and when everything was good in Joseph's life, you know what I'm ready to say? Well, obviously God was with him. Without question, God was with Joseph. Just look at the way he was blessed in Potiphar's house, and look how he was blessed even in the midst of being in the king's prison. I look at these three verses and I say, well, based upon these three verses, it is evident and it is obvious that God was with him. But notice, please, in my thought process, here is what I struggle with. That when things are bad for Joseph, I struggle to have the immediate thought process that God was with him in the midst of that. See, I look at Joseph's life kind of like this, and as I've looked through this the last few weeks, I look at Joseph's life, and you see him one day, And he's wearing the coat of many colors, and he's favored by his father over his brethren, correct? That's what's happened to him. And I say that is one blessed young man. I look at Joseph's life, and he's the head in Potiphar's house, and he's the one in control of Potiphar's house. And I can say, okay, he is one blessed young man there. And I see him in the king's prison, and he is in charge of everything, and the Lord made it to prosper. And I say, he is one blessed young man there. But when he's beat up by his brothers and thrown into the pit and sold as a slave, that's not my immediate thought. Whenever he's cast into prison because of the false accusation, again, my brain and my flesh does not immediately cry out, what a blessed young man. But see, here's what the scripture tells us twice in these verses. In the midst of the trials, in the midst of the difficulties, absolutely nothing changed in the relationship between God and Joseph. It's kind of like this wedding ring. I can remove the wedding ring and it does not change the relationship. I can take off this outward symbol of love and commitment and dedication and eternal love. I can remove on the outside what appears to be that symbol of that kind of love. But just because the symbol has been removed on the outside, it does not change the truth of the relationship. Now, here's what I want us to see, because this was really a help to me today as I was studying and getting all this together. Just because the outward circumstances of Joseph's life changed, it never once altered Joseph's relationship with the Lord. God was with Joseph every step of the way. When it was obvious and when it was clear and when it was evident that Joseph was blessed, God was with him. And when it looked like God was 1,000 miles away and had forgotten Joseph and had abandoned him, though the circumstances on the outside had changed, the relationship had not changed one bit. Now, why do we need to give attention to that, at least for a couple of moments? I think for this reason. I don't think I'm alone in how I think. See, tonight, suppose for just a moment that you came to church, and I began the service like I have at different times by saying something like this: somebody stand and tell me a blessing. Well, some of you may have stood and told me a blessing, right? Yeah. Suppose I had stood before you tonight and I said something like this: tell me where you're reading your Bible. You probably could have stood and said, this is where I'm at in my Bible reading. Yeah. On other occasions, I've said something like this: stand and remind us one more time when you got saved. Now, if we had just done that at a random service, and I just wanted to hear the testimonies one more time, I thought maybe it'd be beneficial to some of the folks who were in attendance tonight. If I'd begun the service that way, you know what most of us would have been able to do? We would have been able to stand up and say, it was at this point in my life, or it was on this day in my life, or at this approximate age in my life, that Jesus Christ saved me. It's a wonderful testimony, isn't it? So when Jesus Christ saved us, what happened? A relationship was birthed, or a relationship was born. See, as a result of my salvation, I began a relationship with Jesus Christ and God. As a result of your salvation, you began a relationship with Jesus Christ and God. Now, having said that, imagine you had come to church tonight and I began teaching and I began asking for these testimonies about when you were saved. And then when we got done with that, I began teaching about some subject like the return of Christ, or I began talking about doctrine or whatever it may be. If I had done that and your thoughts had not been geared toward this direction that I've tried to take us the last few moments, if I came to you just at a random spot in your life and asked you something like this, is the Lord with you? Is the Lord with you? You know what I think many of us would say? I think most of us would say something like this. Yes. The Lord is with me. So I might say, Brother so-and-so, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saying to me that the Lord is accompanying you through this journey that we call life? Yes. How many of us believe as a saved individual, that we are going through life alone right now? Well, see, we don't feel that way, right? But let's be honest. Many times, the level of conviction in which we would answer that question is dependent upon what's going on in our life at that moment. See, if I came to you tonight, having not said one bit of this in a message, but I just came to you before church, or maybe tomorrow I ran into you at the store and I just felt like asking you this question, is the Lord with you in your Christian life? You would know the right answer, yes. But your level of conviction in that answer of it being true would be dependent upon what's happening. See, if I caught you right after you just got an unexpected check in the mail that really took care of some financial struggles you were having right now, is the Lord with you? Oh man, is He with me? Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. That's what our level of conviction would be like, correct? Oh, let me tell you what the Lord's done. Man, Brother Kyle, you know, I wasn't even expecting this. It wasn't even on my radar. I would have never dreamed, but it's like the Lord knew that I had this bill. It's like the Lord knew I had this expense. And there was somebody who was thinking of me, and they just wrote us a check, and they mailed it to us. And Brother Kyle, it was exactly what we needed. Oh, man, God is so good. God, yes, God is with us. He's with us all along the way, showing us mercy, showing us kindness. God is so good to us. Boy, I like that conviction. Suppose I caught you, though, right after the car just broke down. You just took it to the shop, and the mechanic just told you what it was going to cost. And you knew as soon as they told you what it was going to cost that you didn't have that kind of money. Not only that, you got a dishwasher that's acting up, and you've got some other things that are happening, and then things aren't exactly booming at work right now, so you're not getting the hours you used to be getting, and things are just kind of slow right now, and it seems as though the cash flow is really limited right now. So I come to you and I say, hey, brother, is the Lord with you right now? I guess. Hold on, what are we basing that on? We're basing it upon the exterior circumstances of life. See, we need to be reminded from time to time that just because some things have happened on the outside that are different than maybe they were a week ago or a month ago or whenever it may be, we have to be reminded that the relationship with God, listen please, the relationship with God has not changed at all. God is still God, and God is still our God, and God is still with us. He is still accompanying us, and He is still showing us mercy. He is still showing us kindness and favor and compassion, and He is still doing in our lives exactly what needs to be done. But we're much more passionate in our conviction when everything's going good. See, if I were to come to you and say, is God with you? Is the Lord with you? Well, if everything's wonderful in your home life, I better get ready for all the great stories. Oh man, me and my wife, we're just doing so good, Brother Kyle. And I tell you, you know, the kids are just doing great. And you know, they're doing wonderful in school. And the kids are just, they're behaving, you know. They're just acting so much better than they've ever acted. And you know, we've got family coming in to visit. And we're so excited about that. And we get to go see family before long. And I'm so thrilled about that. And Brother Kyle, I'm just telling you, everything, boy, things couldn't be better right now. A lot of conviction. But what if I caught you in a moment like this? Seems like me and the wife are just constantly at each other right now. It just seems like we're constantly on each other's nerves. I mean, I don't know what it is, Brother Kyle. I'm trying to be sensitive, I think, and you know, and it's like everything I say, she gets upset at me, and then whenever she gets upset, I get upset, and I don't respond the way I'm supposed to. And it seems like the kids are just going nuts right now, and it seems like the kids are just absolutely ignoring everything I say. And then we were supposed to have family come visit, but that all got messed up, and we were supposed to go see people, but that all got messed up. And I'm telling you, Brother Kyle, nothing's going right in our family right now. Oh, but the Lord's with you, though, right? Showing you mercy and showing you favor. That's right. God's with us, isn't He? I guess. The relationship hasn't changed any. But what are we doing? We are letting our attitude and our outlook be affected by what is happening in that moment. And we're determining whether or not God is really with us based upon whether or not everything is going our way. So I'll be transparent for just a moment. There are certain Sunday nights I go home and I'm thrilled. If mom and dad want to call me and check on me and ask how the day was going or how the day went, boy, I'm more than happy to visit with them. Yeah, it was great. We had a visitor here. We had a couple here. Or we had so-and-so back who hadn't been there in a while. I mean, yeah, it was a great day. And so, isn't it neat how the Lord blessed His Son? Oh, you better believe it, Mom. You better believe it, Dad. There are some Sunday nights I don't want to go out to eat with anyone. I don't want to talk to anyone. I just want to go home, find me a quiet corner, sit there, curl up in a little ball, and just say, wake me up when it's over. And if you came to me on one of those Sunday nights where I wanted to be curled up in a little ball saying, wake me up when it's over, and you said to me, well, aren't you glad the Lord's with you, Brother Kyle? You know what I'd probably say? Shut up. Because I have a hard time realizing the relationship doesn't change regardless of the circumstances. And the quality of the relationship does not change with God based upon the circumstances. Whether I'm wearing the coat of many colors or it's being stripped off of me, allegorically speaking, the relationship is the same. Whether I'm being promoted in the house of Pharaoh, like Joseph or Potiphar, whether it's that or whether it's the false accusations and the lies, the relationship is the same. My relationship with the Lord is not dependent upon what happens out there. When Jesus Christ saved me, the relationship was established. He is living inside of me. He is dwelling within me. The Scripture says He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. So that means this: no matter where I go in life, no matter what the circumstances are, that relationship is secure, period. And I don't have to question it. But I do. And probably some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are some Wednesday nights, if I said, stand and tell me a blessing, you'd be one of the first ones up. You might be coming to church saying, I hope this is the Wednesday night that he asked for a blessing, because I've got one. I've had people say to me before, I wish you had said, you know, I wish you had asked for blessings, because I had one, Brother Kyle. Well, great. You can share it next week. Well, next week rolls around and some things have happened in the last 7 days, and they're not near as chipper as they were a week ago. I don't believe for a moment that I'm the only one who struggles with this. Every one of us need to look at Joseph's life and realize and remember the relationship did not change in the midst of the circumstances, and the relationship was not stronger in the midst of good circumstances and weaker in the midst of bad circumstances. No, God was with Joseph every step of the way as Joseph sought to live in obedience to God's will. And so long as you and I are striving to walk in obedience to God's will, this we can be sure of: rain or sunshine, good or bad, God is with us. High times, low times, bad times, good times, God is with us. He is forever merciful to us. If you don't believe that, consider what He ought to do to us. God is forever merciful to us, and God is forever showing us favor. God is forever far better to us than we could ever deserve. Don't let the circumstances of life sway you in your thought as to whether or not the Lord is with you. He is. Don't be like me. Don't be like so many other believers who, when the circumstances are not so great, when they're unfavorable to say the least, they begin saying things like, I just feel like God's not even around. I feel like God doesn't even care. I feel like God's forgotten me. Oh, I know He hasn't. I'm just saying it feels like it. When you act that way, you know what you're saying? This is what I really believe. Don't let that happen, because the circumstances never change the established relationship. All right? Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that You'd help us this evening to be reminded once again from this story of Joseph's life that You are always with Your children. God, that You are always working things for our good, that You are always working to complete and to finish that perfect work in us that You began. God, would You help us to remember that You have never forsaken us, You have never left us. Not only have You not ever done that, You will not ever do it. And so, Lord, with the same conviction that we live by when the days are good, in our relationship with You, I pray that we would live with that same sense of conviction and that same sense of assuredness when the days are difficult and when the days are trying. Lord, would You help us to mature, and would You help us to grow in our walk with You? I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As Lauren plays, if you need to pray, you've got time to do so.